Welcome to Blackter. Join me as I examine the best of Black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Blackter. I am your host, Gabe Moses. Happy Black History Month. What a perfect podcast to listen to throughout the month. If you missed any episodes, now is the best time to go back and catch up. Last episode, we took a look at the life of jazz pianist and American music icon, Nat King Cole. At the end of that episode, you may remember hearing this.
No, I don't want to jump.
That was Jermaine Hopkins as Sams in the hit film Lean On Me. The subject of today's episode played Principal Joe Clark in the film, Mr. Morgan Freeman. As an actor, director, and one of the most recognizable voices in the industry, his lifetime of credits puts him at the top of the list as one of the greatest actors of his time. Throughout the episode, I'll be talking about Freeman's upbringing and road to acting, his award-winning roles in the motion picture industry, and where he stands today as a Black actor in his 80s. Here's to the real Black Jesus through his famous portrayals of the man upstairs. This is the magic of Morgan Freeman. So, let's start at the beginning, and let's get into it. Morgan Freeman was born on June 1, 1937, in Memphis, Tennessee. His mother was a school teacher, and his father was a barber. According to DNA analysis, Freeman's great-great-grandparents were slaves who migrated from the South to the North. His white maternal great-great-grandfather was buried next to his Black great-great-grandmother at a time where interracial marriage was not yet legal. Soon after his birth, Freeman would be sent to live with his paternal grandmother in Charleston, Mississippi. As a young child, he moved around regularly, going from Charleston to Greenwood, from Greenwood to Gary, Indiana, and finally, at the age of 6, his grandmother passed away, which resulted in Freeman relocating to Chicago, Illinois, to be with his mother and his siblings. His father was an abusive alcoholic, which resulted in the separation of his parents before he even had the chance to live with both of them. His mother eventually moved the family back to Mississippi, where they settled in Greenwood. Growing up, Freeman spent much of his time saving money to go to the movies. He was inspired by actors Gary Cooper, Spencer Tracy, and the great Sidney Poitier. He attended Broad Street High School. At the age of 12, he pulled the chair out from under a girl he had a crush on. For his punishment, he was forced to participate in the school's drama competition. Freeman was indeed a natural talent. His teachers and fellow classmates were captivated by his gift to step into a character. He won the statewide competition and was asked to perform on a radio show based in Nashville, Tennessee. In 1955, Freeman graduated from Brown Street High School and was awarded a drama scholarship to Jackson State University. However, towards the end of his high school career, Freeman began to flesh out his dream of wanting to fly. He took a chance on his aspiration to be a fighter pilot. He turned down the drama scholarship and joined the United States Air Force. While there, he served as an automatic tracking radar repairman, being able to rise to the third enlisted rank, Airman First Class, known as A1C. The military wasn't exactly what Freeman expected. He was not satisfied with the labor and hands-on tasks given in his jobs. He would have much rather been in the air instead of potentially harming someone. So, in 1959, after 4 vigorous years, Freeman dropped out of the Air Force and moved to Hollywood to try his luck at making it as an actor. In Los Angeles, California, he began taking acting classes at the Pasadena Playhouse. He took dance classes in San Francisco while also trying to book gigs. While there, he also worked as a transcript clerk for Los Angeles City College. Through his training and side jobs, he struggled immensely to find work as a performer. However, he did land a spot in the Opera Ring Musical Theater Group for a short time. Within a few years, Freeman moved to New York City in the early 60s to hopefully start a career there. In 1964, he worked as a dancer for the New York World's Fair. That same year, he was also a part of the touring company cast of the play The Royal Hunt of the Sun by Peter Schaefer. By 1965, Freeman would be seen in his first film as an extra, The Pawnbroker, directed by Sidney Lumet. From here on out, he would book acting jobs more consistently. With appearances as small roles in a few more films, Freeman made his off-Broadway debut at the Orpheum Theater in 1965 in a play called The Nigger Lovers. The show was about the Civil Rights Era Freedom Riders, a group of activists in the early 60s who went on bus trips in the South to protest the segregated terminals. On October 22, 1967, Morgan Freeman would marry Jeanette Adair Bradshaw. By November of 67, he would make his Broadway debut in the hit musical with an all-black cast, Hello, Dolly. He played the character Rudolph alongside Pearl Bailey as Dolly and Cab Calloway as Horace. In 1969, Freeman originated a role in a Broadway play called The Dozens. Along with Freeman, the three-person cast consisted of Al Freeman Jr. and Paula Kelly. The plot surrounds a nightclub singer and her weak husband as they meet and spend the night hiding with a fugitive leader of an African country. With only four performances after opening, the show closed in March. By 1970, Freeman found himself acting on stage, television, and film. He was seen in his first television movie called Caught in the Middle as the character Cuz. In 1971, he would make his breakout role in television in the hit PBS children's television series, The Electric Company. As an original cast member, Freeman received much recognition for his roles on the show, including famous characters Easy Reader, Male Mounds, Count Dracula, and Vincent the Vegetable Vampire.
I'm Vincent the Vegetable Vampire. In the nighttime when tomatoes start to scream, it's only Vincent, the vegetable vampire, creeping in the garden of your dreams. Vitamins, I get my vim and vigor, and vegetables have vitamins, that's right. So Vincent, the vegetable vampire, comes creeping in your garden at night. I feel flush, I squash it, and drink the juice right in. If I see a cucumber deep asleep in slumber, I bite right through his skin. I'm Vincent the Vegetable Vampire. The nighttime when potatoes close their eyes, I'm Vincent the Vegetable Vampire. Comes and takes them by surprise. By moonlight, I stalk the celery and turn the turnips to pulp. Whatever I may catch, get squeezed for juice and natch. I drink it all down in one gulp. I'm Vincent, the vegetable vampire. In the nighttime when tomatoes start to scream, it's only Vincent, the vegetable vampire.
The show's aim was to teach children how to read through comedy and zany characters in skits. While on The Electric Company, Freeman was also the understudy to the title character in the musical Pearlie on Broadway. That same year, he was seen in the television film Who Says I Can't Ride a Rainbow as the character Afro. However, after seven tiring years on The Electric Company, he realized he was not living his dream as a movie star. He could not see himself entertaining children any longer. Therefore, in 1977, the same year the show was canceled, he left. His next big success would be performing in the Broadway play The Mighty Gents in April of 1978. The Mighty Gents is a play about seven black men who are former members of a gang in Newark, New Jersey, and struggle to survive as adults. Freeman's role as the character Zeke earned him quite a few nominations, including a Drama Desk Award and a Tony Award nomination for Best Featured Actor in a Play. Although he did not win the Tony, he won the Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Featured Actor in a Play. While he rose to success in the late 70s, his personal life was taking a turn. Throughout the last few years, Freeman's marriage was deteriorating. Through his stress over the electric company and lack of fame he hoped to have achieved, he began drinking, which resulted in alcoholism and inappropriate behavior towards his wife, similar to his father. In 1979, the two got a divorce. In that same year, he was seen in theater productions in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar and the title character in Coriolanus. After the break, I'll be talking about Freeman's career in the 1990s and how his hard work truly pays off as he skyrockets to becoming a Hollywood star. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. In 1980, Morgan Freeman won an Obie Award for his performance as Coriolanus. He would also appear in the film Attica and Brubaker, slowly making his way into the mainstream film industry. His career on screen would truly take off in 1981, as he appeared in the film Eyewitness as Lieutenant Black, playing Malcolm X in the television movie Death of a Prophet, and his recurring role as Dr. Roy Bigham on the television series Another World. In June of 1984, he remarried to a woman by the name of Myrna Colley Lee. By 1985, Freeman played one of the leading roles in the biographical film Marie. Through his distinguished deep voice, his unique physique, and acting style, Freeman was on his way to making a true name for himself and the iconic characters he would soon play on screen. After performing in more television shows, he would be seen in the film Street Smart as the memorable character Leo Smalls, also known as Fast Black, a pimp and potential suspect for a story received by a magazine reporter.
I gotta tell you, hum, you don't know shit. I read that magazine, man. Your dude,
Tyrone.
This dude is stupid, man. I mean, he wouldn't last 20 minutes out here.
Well, you know, a lot of people liked it.
Yeah, well, a lot of people got their head up their ass. I will show you the speech, bro.
Freeman's performance in the film earned him several award nominations, including a Golden Globe nomination for Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture, and his first Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor. Although he did not win, he was able to win three Film Critics Awards, including the New York Film Critics Circle Award for Best Supporting Actor. In March of 1988, Freeman would make his way back to Broadway after almost 10 years in the musical The Gospel at Colonus as the Messenger, a visiting pastor who narrates the role of Oedipus and performs the role as a sermon.
Think no longer that you are in command here, but rather think how, when you were, you served your own destruction. Welcome, brothers and sisters. I take for my text this evening the book of Oedipus. Oedipus. Damned in his birth, in his marriage, damned. Damned by the blood he shed with his own hands. Now, you have all heard of the death of Jocasta. Jocasta, whose husband was by her husband, whose children were by her child. You have heard how the wretched Oedipus found her body swaying from the cruel cord she had noosed about her neck. I would blot out from my mind what happened next. For they say that this man, this king, ripped from her gown the golden brooches that were her ornaments, raised them on high and plunged them straight down into his own eyeballs, crying, "No more, no more shall you look on the misery about me, the horrors of my own doing. From this moment, go in darkness." And as he spoke, he struck at his eyes, not once, mind you, but many times. They say the blood burst from his ruined sockets like red hail. In Exodus, where it speaks of his death in a place called Colonus, which was sacred, and of his redemption there, we direct you to lines 275 through 279, wherein he cries out to his daughters, "I could say much to you if you could understand me. But as it is, I have only this prayer for you. Live where you can. Be as happy as you can. Happier, please, God, than God has made your father." Amen.
1989 would be an iconic year for Freeman. In March, he would be seen in the biographical film Lean on Me, based on the true story of the high school in Paterson, New Jersey, and its principal, Joe Lewis Clark. Freeman's performance as Clark would be a staple for the black community, with a strong black man as the lead of the movie.
All right, people, here we are. This is the day. In 1 hour, you are going to take an exam administered by the state to test your basic skills and the quality of education at Eastside High. And I want to tell you what the people out there are saying about you and what they think about your chances. They say you are inferior. You are just a bunch of niggers and spicks and poor white trash. Education is wasted on you. You cannot learn. You're lost. I mean, all of you. I want all the white students to stand up. All my white students, stand up right now. Stand up. Come on. All my white students, stand up. Stand up. That's it. Come on. Stand up. These are my white children. And they're the same as all of you. They've got no place to go. If they had, they would have abandoned us a long time ago, like everybody else did. But they couldn't. So here they are at Eastside High, just like the rest of us. You can sit down. Are you getting my point, people?
Yes.
Is it beginning to sink in?
Yes.
We sink, we swim, we rise, we fall, we meet our fate together.
In December of 1989, Freeman received even more acclaim for his memorable performance in the comedy drama film Driving Miss Daisy. He previously was seen in the off-Broadway production as the same character, chauffeur Hoke Colburn.
Something wrong back there, Miss Daisy?
No.
Something I done?
No. Yes.
Miss Daisy, I ain't done nothing.
You had the car parked right in front of the front door of the temple like I was the Queen of Romania. Everybody saw you. Didn't I tell you to wait for me in the back?
Well, yes, but I just trying to... Well, there's two other chauffeurs right behind me there.
You made me look like a fool. A G.D. fool.
Oh, Miss Daisy. Lord knows you ain't no fool.
Slow down. Miriam and Beulah and them, I could see what they were thinking when we came out of services.
What's that?
But I was trying to pretend I was rich.
Well, you is rich, Miss Daisy.
No, I'm not. And nobody can say I put on airs. On Forsyth Street, we made many a meal off of grits and gravy. I've done without plenty of times, I can tell you.
Miss Daisy, if I was to ever get my hands on what you got, Shoot. I'd be shaking it around for everybody in the world to see.
That's vulgar. Don't talk to me.
Never gonna understand some way.
What? What was that? I heard that.
Now, Miss Daisy, you needs a chauffeur. Lord knows I needs a job. So why don't we just leave it like that?
The film also starred Dan Aykroyd, Patti LuPone, Esther Rolle, and Jessica Tandy as the title character. Freeman received several nominations yet again, including another nomination for an Academy Award. He won a Golden Globe Award and an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture.
Thank you very much. 40-odd years ago, my mother used to say to me all the time, "Boy, I'm gonna take you to Hollywood." Well, Ma, look what they did. Of course, I have to thank, starting at the top, Lillian Richard Zanuck, sticking with me on this one. Alfred Ury, of course, for the this loving way that he evoked this man. Jessica. And the entire cast of and crew. And there are so many people that I feel like I'd be up here all night. But I have to say thank you to my parents before I go. My mother and father. My father's not doing very well. And I hope he's able to sit up and see this. Hollywood Foreign Press Association, I thank you. I thank you all. God bless you.
Next up, the film Glory appeared in theaters worldwide in February of 1990. Alongside Denzel Washington and Matthew Broderick, Freeman plays Sergeant Major John Rawlins. The film centers around the Union Army's first African-American regiment in the American Civil War. Later in 1990, Freeman would be the narrator and voice of Frederick Douglass in the Civil War television miniseries, which launched his career in voiceover work. While his fame in film and television was reaching its highest point, he still continued to act in theater, including a production of The Taming of the Shrew at the Delacorte Theater, where Freeman played the lead role, Petruchio. His next big hit would be in 1992 in the Western film Unforgiven. As the character Ned Logan, Freeman worked under the direction of Clint Eastwood, who also starred in the movie. The film won Best Picture at the Academy Awards. He made his directorial debut in 1993 with the film Bofa, starring Danny Glover. In 1994, Freeman would receive his third Oscar nomination for his performance in The Shawshank Redemption.
Andy Dufresne, who crawled through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side. Andy Dufresne. Headed for the Pacific.
Hadley's got him by the throat, right? And he says, "I believe this boy's about to have himself an accident.
Those of us who knew him best talk about him often. I swear the stuff he pulled.
I believe these friends of mine could use a couple of beers.
And he got it.
Sometimes it makes me sad, though, Andy being gone. I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. And when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice. But still, the place you live in is that much more drab and empty that they are gone. I guess I just miss my friend."
The film is known for having Morgan Freeman in one of his best performances to date. And soon, there would be more. The next year, he would be seen in blockbuster films such as Outbreak and Seven. In 1997, he starred in the movie Amistad as Theodore Jodson. Produced by Debbie Allen and directed by Steven Spielberg, Freeman won an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture. In 1998, he played the fictional President of the United States, Tom Beck, in Deep Impact. His list of iconic roles was far from over. While Freeman was already a Hollywood star, he would be unmatched in the 21st century. Throughout the early 2000s, he would appear in more films than most famous actors at that time, some of which include Nurse Betty, a comedy with Chris Rock, Along Came a Spider, in which he played Alex Cross for the second time, High Crimes, based on the novel of the same name, and his first appearance as God in the film Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey.
The gloves are off, God. God has taken my bird and my bush. God is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. Smite me, O mighty smiter. Now, I'm not much for blaspheming, but that last one made me laugh.
In 2004, Freeman would make a huge impact with his performance as a gym assistant and narrator in Million Dollar Baby. The film was directed by and also starred Clint Eastwood. His performance as the retired boxer was astonishing.
I found you a fighter, and you made her the best fighter she could be. Maggie walked through that door with nothing but guts. No chance in the world of being what she needed to be. A year and a half later, she's fighting for the championship of the world. You did that. People die every day, Frankie. Mopping floors, washing dishes. And you know what their last thought is? I never got my shot. Because of you, Maggie got her shot. If she dies today, you know what her last thought will be? I think I did all right.
He earned his fourth Academy Award nomination for his role, and the fourth time would be a charm for Morgan Freeman. He won the award for Best Supporting Actor and gave a powerful acceptance speech.
I want to thank everybody and anybody who ever had anything at all to do with the making of this picture. But I especially want to thank Clint Eastwood for giving me the opportunity to work with him again and to work with Hilary Swank. This was a labor of love. And I thank the Academy. I thank you so very much.
After his success with Million Dollar Baby, he continued to take the industry by storm. In 2007, he reprised his role as God in the sequel to Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty, with Steve Carell and Wanda Sykes. In that same year, he also appeared in the film The Bucket List with Jack Nicholson. The emotionally driven film centers around two men with lung cancer who attempt to live their final days of life to the fullest. The next year, Freeman would return to Broadway in the play The Country Girl by Clifford Odets. Freeman played a washed-up actor who was given a final chance at stardom by a young director. Freeman would yet again prove he could not only give powerful performances on screen, but he could command the space on any stage he touched. In 2009, he starred in the film Invictus as the late South African philanthropist and president, Nelson Mandela. The film also starred Matt Damon. In yet another film directed by Clint Eastwood, Freeman's performance as Mandela earned him his fifth Oscar nomination for Best Actor. In the 2010s, Freeman's career began to slow down, as he was well in his 70s. Most of his work included using his deep voice to narrate a number of films and documentaries. His notable work in the last 10 years include Red, The Magic of Belle Isle, The Dark Knight Rises, Oblivion, The Lego Movie, Just Getting Started, Angel Has Fallen, and much more. He has also directed 3 episodes of Madam Secretary. At the 2012 Golden Globes, Freeman received a Cecil B. DeMille Award for outstanding contributions to the world of entertainment. In 2016, President Barack Obama presented Freeman with a National Medal of Arts for his work as an actor, director, and narrator in the industry. Throughout the 2000s, Freeman was also dealing with a difficult personal life in the midst of his groundbreaking performances. In 2008, he was in a fatal car accident, but was able to make a speedy recovery with only a few broken bones. He and his second wife separated and divorced in 2010. A few years later, he experienced tragedy when his 33-year-old step-granddaughter was murdered by her boyfriend. In 2018, there were several sexual allegations made towards Freeman. About 8 women accused him of being overly flirtatious and making inappropriate comments in the workplace. Despite if these allegations are true or not, there has been a history of older black men in the industry experiencing these same issues. Bill Cosby and Ben Vereen come to mind. I will personally say that these allegations should be taken more seriously, and any acts of harassment towards anyone is not acceptable. Freeman soon apologized to the woman and stated he never intended on making anyone uncomfortable. However, that is not in any way saying that those allegations were not coming from the truth. Recently, Freeman has appeared in the film The Comeback Trail with Robert De Niro and will be seen in the upcoming sequel of Coming to America in March. Over the years, he has been a Kennedy Center honoree and won a Screen Actors Guild Lifetime Achievement Award. There is no doubt that Morgan Freeman is one of the most talented actors of his time, not to mention the fact that he received his piloting license at the age of 65. Although through recent events there have been serious circumstances interrupting his career, he still remains one of the most respected actors in the industry, with his kind, accepting, and forgiving nature.
Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the shadow of the shade. Yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me, unafraid.
Someone asked me once, and you were about to do it, what would you do if you weren't an actor, if you didn't make it as an actor? I have no idea. I would act somewhere. Maybe I'd be driving a cab, maybe I'm working somebody's yard. Whatever I'm doing, I will act. Because I'll die if I don't. You do it because you have to do it. If you spend 20 years waiting tables, at night, if you were a writer, you're writing. And it's the same thing with any discipline. Painters paint. I don't care what else they have to do to put food on the table or pay the rent, they're painting. And I think that's the same way all the way around. Writers write, painters paint, actors act.
Matters not how straight the gate, how punishment charged the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. You can follow me on social media at Black Dirt Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get updates on new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Keep listening for special hints about the next episode. Until then, I'm Gabe Moses, and Black Artists Matter.
When the time comes, what do you want us to remember about you?